What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Massive Breakdown Podcast. This is episode 164. We are coming to you on, you know, what is a Thursday night. It's not quite as fantastic of a Thursday night as it has been in the past. I believe that there's been a lot of stuff going on this last week. So before we even move any further into the podcast, you know, Kikuchi and I would just like to state that we, Destiny Massive Breakdowns as a whole, unequivocally stand with the protesters and the Black Lives Matter movement to protest police brutality and the effect that it has on people of color in the United States. So we just want to get that out of the way. We have a small thing that we'd like to say before we begin talking about the podcast. But yeah, we do 100% support Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, and so I just want to share a little bit. Because I think there are a lot of people out there who maybe are legitimately confused about Black Lives Matter. You know, and this is coming from, you know, a cis white male, most privileged class in America, speaking to people like myself who may, in good faith, be a little bit confused about the Black Lives Matter movement or maybe be misled by some bad actors acting in bad faith.
Of which there are a lot.
Yeah, Twitter is a minefield. So Black Lives Matter started in 2013 with the death of Trayvon Martin, founded by three black organizers, Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, Opal Tometi. Since then, it has grown significantly to encompass a number of issues, but they have maintained a strong focus on police brutality, and obviously that has been, you know, the major focus of the protests going on right now in our country. So one thing that we want to say is that when we say Black Lives Matter, like, I don't really want to get a million people coming back to us and saying, but all lives matter. Like, duh. Okay, I'm gonna pass this one off to President Obama, because I think he said it really clearly and simply. You know, love him or hate him, vote for him, vote against him, I don't really care. He said this very well. I think everybody understands all lives matter. I think the reason that the organizers used the phrase Black Lives Matter was not because they were suggesting nobody else's lives matter. Rather, what they were suggesting was there is a specific problem that's happening in the African American community that's not happening in other communities, and that is a legitimate issue that we've got to address. And I think that's really all there is to say about that.
Yeah, so don't come back at us about all lives matter bullshit. We're not trying to hear it, quite frankly. We, being the white male people that we are, obviously have not suffered anywhere near what people of color have suffered in this country, right? And when we talk about equality, equality is not an opinion, and it's not a political stance. Equality is, you know, a God-given right for all people. And there is bias inherent in the system. And as white people, words on social media, which too many people use to make about themselves or to do virtue signaling, that's quite frankly not enough. There needs to be action. And those actions can be, if you are in a position of power at your workplace, it can range from, you know, actually opening your eyes and looking for qualified people of color to interview, to hire, to promote. It can range to having the difficult conversations with family members who may be racist or maybe don't see the inequality in the system, right? I know that that personally is something that I have to deal with a lot in my extended family, and even in acquaintances and people that I know in person, right? There's more that we as white people can do than just posting a black square on social media.
Yeah.
So to help you guys out with that, and because this is Massive Breakdowns, I wanted to highlight some statistics that you can use in conversations with people who maybe don't necessarily agree that there is inherent bias in the system. And we've looked up all of these. They come from published studies that were peer-reviewed. These are not just things that we're pulling out of our butts. So people of color right now make up 13% of the population in the United States. Specifically, African Americans make up 13% of the population in the United States, but they make up 25% of arrests, and more disturbingly, varying on the year, they make up 35 to 45% of the unarmed people killed by police every year. So that right there shows you something. That's unarmed people killed by police. When we talk about traffic stops, an analysis of more than 20 million traffic stops in North Carolina showed that blacks are more than twice as likely as whites to be pulled over by police for traffic stops, and they were also more likely to be searched following the stop. There was no significant difference in likelihood that Hispanics would be pulled over, but once Hispanics would be pulled over, they were more likely than whites to be searched as well. The irony being that contraband being found on blacks and Hispanics was far less likely than it was on whites. A 2020 study that was done for the journal Nature looked at 100 million traffic stops nationwide. It found that black drivers were around 40% more likely to be stopped than white drivers. And again, it found that the threshold by which police decided to search black and Hispanic drivers was much lower than that of whites. And again, it found that contraband was found more often on whites than on black and Hispanic drivers. So they then went further and they did what's called a veil of darkness study, where they wanted to see if when the sun was down and you could not tell someone's race by looking in their window, did the chances or did the percentages of black drivers getting stopped go down? And they did. So if you could not tell someone's race, black people were actually less likely to be stopped than when you could tell the race, which is, and they noted in the abstract and in the summary, that is very suggestive of racial profiling. When you look at comparisons between whites and arrest and sentencing, the ACLU in 2013 found that blacks were almost four times more likely than whites to be arrested for marijuana possession, despite the fact that blacks and whites use marijuana at incredibly similar rates, right? For sentencing, in 2011, ProPublica went through an analysis that said whites are nearly four times as likely as minorities to win a pardon, even when the type of crime and the severity of the sentence are taken into account. 2012, University of Michigan Law School found that African Americans are given longer federal sentences even when factoring prior criminal records, and African American jail sentences tend to be roughly 10% longer than white jail sentences for the same crimes. The study found that federal prosecutors of African American and Hispanic defendants almost twice as likely to push for mandatory minimum sentences, which leads to longer sentences and disparities in incarceration rates. In 2017, the United States Sentencing Commission, which is a federal agency, found that after controlling for a wide variety of sentencing factors, including age, education, citizenship, weapon possession, and prior criminal history, black male offenders received sentences on average 19.1% longer than similarly situated white male offenders. Once they're incarcerated, an analysis by the New York Times in 2016 said that they overviewed tens of thousands of disciplinary cases against inmates and hundreds of pages of internal reports. They found that blacks and Latinos were sent more frequently to solitary and held there for longer durations than whites. They found that the disparities were the greatest for violations where the prison guards had discretion, such as disobeying orders, but they were much smaller for violations that required physical evidence, such as possessing contraband. And then the argument that always comes back from all this stuff, especially from my racist asshole uncle, is that, well, people of color just quite simply commit more crimes than white people do, right? That's why the arrest rates are higher. That's why they, are killed at higher rates, which, we can look at it this way. When you look at the data, it implies a much stronger tie between poverty and crime than crime and any racial group, especially when gender is taken into consideration. Studies indicate that areas with low socioeconomic status have the greatest correlation of crime with young and adult males, regardless of racial composition. A 1996 study looking at data from Columbus, Ohio, found that the differences in disadvantage in city neighborhoods explain the vast majority of differences in crime rates between blacks and whites. And then two more studies done in 2003 showed the exact same thing, right? So if you are having these conversations with people in your life who are turning a blind eye to systemic bias or who don't believe that it exists, there are literally hundreds of statistics out there that you can use to show them that no, in fact, people of color are being treated unfairly in our system. And I hope that, we do massive breakdowns here. That's what we do. And I hope that this has been, educational.
Yeah. And I want to encourage, I want to encourage people to have these conversations, because racism starts basically at the dinner table, right? It starts with family and with your kids. And having conversations about these difficult topics, it can be rough if you're not used to confronting people about their biases. But like, got to get over it, because a lot of people have to put up with not just having a conversation, but experiencing that bias. So you just like, if you're uncomfortable, think about how much more uncomfortable you would be if you were black and being racially profiled by a police officer. So ultimately, like, I guess kind of as white people, we have to get over ourselves, because it's not
Yeah.
about us.
It's our privilege that we're having uncomfortable conversations
Yeah,
instead of
like,
having our lives threatened because we got profiled and pulled over at a traffic stop.
poor us. Like, yeah, we just got to get over it. I want to share two quick tips. The two biggest things I see people doing when they're trying to criticize Black Lives Matter is straw manning the movement. It's rampant. People trying to set up these claims like, oh, they don't care about this, they don't care about that. Don't let them do that. All right? If somebody opens by straw manning Black Lives Matter, you respond by saying, actually, that's not true. Here's what they actually stand for. It takes a simple Google search. They have a fantastic website. Very, very easy to correct anyone who's attempting to make that claim. And the other thing that a lot of people do is they'll move the goalposts on you. So this is a logical fallacy where you counter someone's claim. Like they say, oh, Black Lives Matter doesn't care about this. And they say, actually, they do. They actually care about quite a few things. They're doing a lot of good work. And here's the proof. And they say, oh, well, then what about this? That's moving the goalposts. They are totally ignoring the fact that they were wrong and trying to move on to some other point. Don't let them do it. Don't let them get away with it. So that's all I have to say.
It's our responsibility to speak up about stuff like this because we have the privilege of doing so and because we have this platform. And like I said earlier, action needs to be taken, not just words on social media, right? You can, I know, Kutch, you've tried hard to amplify voices of people of color over this period of time where this has been happening. You've tried hard to do that. I'm sure that will continue, after this. There are a ton of incredible people in this community out there that are putting out just loads of educational information, the helping people to understand, helping people to see. I mean, there's so much that we can do. It is irresponsible for us not to, given our positions. So
Yep.
I felt, and I know you felt the same way, Kutch, that it would not make any sense for us to open up the podcast this week and not delve into this.
Yeah, I would rather have, it's always it's that difficult thing, right? When you're in a position of privilege, you're tempted to remain silent, right? You don't want to try to overshadow somebody else's voice, but ultimately remaining silent just allows the people who are acting against the oppressed to have the louder voice. So we have to say something. And I'd love to hear from anybody who wants to share a message. Anybody in our community who has something to say, who has experience with Black Lives Matter. Feel free to hit us up on social media. Let's share the message. Let's spread the word. We have a platform and we can use it.
Yeah, or if you think that we have, done something that we could have done better,
Yeah.
or we could have taken a different, we're more than open to hearing that as well. Don't have to hesitate to reach out to us if you think that there's something we could have done better or could have addressed in a different manner. I mean, we are cognizant of who we are and what our
Yeah.
position is, and part of the reason why, I think there's hesitancy, at least from our perspective, is because we don't want to overshadow the voices of the people who are actually going through this, considering that we don't have that experience. So I want to support the best way that I can, and that's what we're trying to do. But if we can do it better, please let us know.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, that being said, we do have a podcast episode for you tonight. This is the last week of Season of the Worthy, right? So we are going to be having it seems like a cold time, despite the fact that it is going to be summer upcoming. They have put out a couple of trailers that are showing us hints of an icy planet, an icy moon, perhaps looking like it may be Europa. They've showed us the Drifter, they've showed us Eris. The
Yeah.
TWAB came out, had a little bit of information in it, wasn't a super meaty TWAB, But they have given us a date for a reveal, and it was a reveal that did not have the Destiny 2 logo on it. I know people had been noticing that. It was just the Destiny logo. They dropped the number 2. What do you think of that, Kikucha? Does that seem a little bit suspicious to you?
I'm real curious what exactly they have cooking here that they are being so tight-lipped about. I think Bungie has learned one thing, and that is how to build hype before release, because it never fails that people are just fed up and done with Bungie and with Destiny, and they're just like, oh, I'm so tired of it. Blah 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 blah, and then new release, drip feed, lots of mystery, and everyone is just drooling, cannot wait. So I'm really curious to see what exactly is happening here. I'm honestly watching those cold trailers feels great to me right now because we've been planning kind of a midweek beach getaway because we live like a few hours from the beach. We never take advantage of it. So we've been planning this for a while, and we wanted to go when it wasn't going to be crowded, since there's still a pandemic on and all, regardless of what people who aren't scientists may say about it. And so I am just literally like right now feeling overheated because I lost track of time and got a terrible sunburn. I have a horrible complexion for Texas. It's really bad. But yeah, looking at these Frosty trailers makes me feel better already. I'm rewatching them, and I don't know what is happening here. Like I honestly haven't. It's Eris, so I have to assume that there are Hive or Taken somehow involved, but I honestly have no clue. And then the Drifter go in there too. I'm just like I don't know what the connection is. We need a lore expert to fill us in here on how this is shaping up.
Yeah, it is interesting. I like the parallel that they both ignite, like they both are holding something in their hand, right?
Yeah.
Like, I assume it's light. The Drifter is holding solar light. I don't know if Eris is holding, arc light or whatever it is, but they both are holding something in their hands, some power. See, here's the thing is I don't know. Is this Europa stuff? Is this the next season? Is this season 11? Or is this going to be the stuff for year 4 of Destiny? Maybe not Destiny 2, but Destiny, is that going to be what it is? Because they have not given us a new full location for a season yet, have they?
They have not given us a full location for a season. Aside from an actual release, right? So, like, yeah, I don't, like, I honestly don't know what to make of it. I'd like to think that they're gonna start the hype train for fall off, in this summer, but they've given us like nothing about the next season at the same time, aside from, maybe some kind of a few preview patch notes here and there. So I think a lot of people are in this same boat where it's like, what's going on, Bungie?
They're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? Because they've literally given us nothing. So there's no possible way we could have any expectations for the season. But
Yeah.
I already hear people like setting up these expectations for the season for themselves that they're going to be disappointed on. I mean, I will say that the summer seasons and the summer expansions are generally the best one besides the fall one. It usually goes summer, fall, winter isn't that great, and then spring is pretty bad,
Yeah.
right? Like that's always the way it's been in all of Destiny's lifestyle, right? Vanilla. The Dark Below kind of sucked, and then House of Wolves was pretty great, right? And then the Taken King, and that's kind of just the way it went around. And then we had the Taken Spring, and that was no great. And then we had Rise of Iron and Age of Triumph. Like it pretty much always goes that the fall expansion is a good one, the Christmas expansion is okay, the spring expansion sucks, the summer expansion starts the hype train for fall, right?
Yeah.
So I would hope that even looking at Destiny 2's lifestyle, where we had Warmind, which was pretty good, and Season of Opulence, which was great, that this season is going to be a good one. I don't know if we're going to be going to Europa this season, I feel like it would be a mistake for Bungie to start advertising the fall content drop before they start advertising season 11. But maybe that is what they're doing.
I mean, yeah, it's the whole thing is just very unclear. You know, I was just talking to somebody about the concept of epistic humility and how lacking it is in our current culture. And that is basically acknowledging when your knowledge is limited and not trying to make guesses beyond your actual knowledge. And that's about what I'm running into here, is I feel like we have just enough information to be curious and not enough information to actually even remotely guess what they're doing.
So you know just enough to be dangerous, right?
Yeah.
Or you know just enough to think you know more than you do, but you don't really know that much, and that's when you get yourself in trouble. That's
exactly.
A dangerous game to play as a pilot. That's like the worst thing, is when you have just enough information to be like, oh, I can go fly, but you really shouldn't. So regardless, whatever it is, we'll know June 9th, right? That's next Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, so noon Eastern time for me, which I'm stoked about. That's when we're going to find out. I mean, they're the masters of laying the hype down. I'm glad that they're laying the hype down on this one. But probably more importantly in the TWAB for what we need to know, they did talk about update 2.9.0, which is going to be next week's update that's coming out. And then they started dropping so much stuff in the comments section. They're going to be nerfing Antaeus wards, which is pretty great. So we're going to talk about
goodness.
That. Goodness.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It's not a huge nerf, but it is definitely going to be a nerf, which is going to be good. So let's get to talking about these updates. We might as well. So Eververse, which is nice. Obviously, they said they're phasing out legendary armor ornaments and stuff like that. They've shifted it to a gameplay reward. And they're bringing back the Season of Opulence Intrepid ornaments, which is nice. They're adding an additional 2,300 Bright Dust to the Season Pass. And they are adding a Flare section, which just features shaders and spawn FX. And then they are going to, you know, obviously bring back, you know, stuff from previous seasons to once again be available. Nobody cares about that. And they said that they will tell us which Season 11 silver-only items will be at the beginning of the season. And they are going to have an update later in Season 11 on further changes to Bright Dust acquisition. So they want to know that. That's nice. I mean, it's good that we're going to have more than 2,300 Bright Dust. I have not noticed myself being... So here's what I'll say. Prior to the changes to Eververse, I had like 25,000 Bright Dust that I was sitting on. I'm now hovering between like 2 and 6,000, depending on whether I want to buy ornaments for the week. Like, I'm not finding myself necessarily short of Bright Dust, but I'm not literally buying every single thing and still sitting on a warehouse of Bright Dust like I was prior to it. So this will be a pretty decent change for me. I think an extra 2,300 over the course of the season will be pretty nice.
Yeah.
I still don't like Eververse, though, in the way it is right now, flat out. Like, I haven't bought silver, and unless I see some dramatic changes to Eververse, I probably still won't buy silver, but I'm curious to see how this stuff goes in the next season.
Yeah, I'm basically in the same boat here. I will definitely appreciate a little extra Bright Dust. There's occasionally something that I'm interested in, but, I mean, as I've said a million times, for the most part, I'm not super into cosmetics in games. Like, it just, you know, call it what you will. I don't care that much what my guardian looks like. I just try to make the color scheme more or less match. That's the most I really care about.
Yep. And then they did talk about the sandbox a little bit. They said the powerful friends armor mod will no longer stack. It says developer commentary, only seasonal solar mods were intended to stack. No part of arc mods are intended to have stacking functionality. Powerful Friends grants plus 20 to mobility, which players could leverage to get 3 stat columns to the max of 100 points. And the mod is not priced sufficiently to justify its benefits, and increasing its cost would have adverse effects on its primary benefit usage. So they're saying Season 11 introduces a new arc mod, granting a similar stat bonus to strength that it will not stack. They're moving enhanced auto rifle loader, enhanced fusion rifle loader, and enhanced bow loader armor mods to pinnacle mod sources. Makes me sad that I'm going to be losing my enhanced scatter projectile targeting, because I have been using double of those on my helmet since basically the beginning of the season. And I am running auto rifle, fusion rifle, machine gun right now in PvP. So it's like I get double targeting on all of my guns, and I'm going to very, very much miss losing that, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be missing. They really lined up the mods nicely for the meta this season.
Yeah. Well, especially for my meta.
Super leaned into it, yeah.
Yeah. So, talk about raid awards. They said the following raid exotics have increased drop chances: 1,000 Voices, Anarchy, and Always on Time, which is the exotic sparrow from Scourge of the Past. These are now matched to Terabot, where it starts at 10% and then it increases to a max of 50% over 20 clear. So you get 2% per clear added onto your 10% drop chance, which is, in my opinion, a great way to do it, right? Because, it honestly, I probably would have done it sooner than 20 clears. I probably would have done 10 clears. 20 clears is still a freaking lot, right? But, a 40% chance is, after 15 clears or whatever, is still pretty great. So, this is definitely better than nothing. This will pretty much mean anyone who is dedicated will be able to get one of these things on their guys finally. I might actually start running the raids again at this point because I haven't run a raid in a long time because the raid exotics have just not been easy to get, and with the exception of the Garden of Salvation one. But I'm thinking it might be time to start raiding again.
I mean, at least it's feasible now that that you're gonna get these. That might be enough to get me into a raid this summer here. So I do miss raiding. I used to spend so much time in raids, and I've really gotten away from it, but we'll see. We'll see. So trials rewards, got some changes. Additional masterwork material rewards now drop at 3, 5, and 7 trials wins. Added a trials weekly bounty, which unlocks trials engrams on Saint 14. The bounty reward will match the win 3 milestone reward of the week. Trials tokens distribution has been rebalanced to focus on wins 3, 5, and 7 of a trials passage. This includes repeat passages. Trials tokens are no longer awarded for match completions. Tokens are now granted specifically through wins and bounties. Passage of Wealth now doubles the bonus trials tokens earned at 3, 5, and 7 trials wins.
So my thing is, I think this is like three weddings and a funeral or whatever, right? Like the Masterwork material rewards dropping is nice because it kind of puts Trials on par with the Ordeal Nightfalls. Adding a Trials weekly bounty, which unlocks Trials Engrams on Saint 14, is nice because people were having issues getting to three wins. So this will supplant that, and the bounty I'm sure will be able to be completed by anyone who plays it. So I think that's good. Trials token distribution has been rebalanced to focus on wins 3, 5, and 7. I think that's good because it will stop people from farming the first three wins of the trials thing. The problem that I see is that trials tokens are no longer awarded strictly from match completions. They are now only from wins and bounties. So my thing is that you just gave all these people who couldn't get to three wins the ability to finally turn in their tokens, right? But if they couldn't get to three wins, how are they supposed to get, a lot of, how are they supposed to get tokens? Like, what is the motivation to keep playing once the bounties are done? Although I guess, there are grindable bounties and you can just grind the bounties out. But, is that really the message that you want to send? I understand saying we're going to give you less tokens for a completion and more tokens for a win. But kind of just removing it, that, it'll be interesting. We'll just have to see how many tokens you get from bounties, basically, and things like that. But to me, they basically were like, people who aren't very good, come back and play, come back and play. Just kidding. If you don't win, you still only get limited rewards.
They really walk a fine line, right? So they want this to be in-game PvP, but they also need a significant enough player population to make it like playable. I feel like they're really trying to straddle that line hard, and I'm not entirely sure they're hitting it here, but I think you kind of summed it up pretty well. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm glad that at the very least they're experimenting with the reward structure. All we can do is take the changes and give them some feedback.
And then they've also done something really, really interesting. They've given us the ability to now do button mapping on
Oh, I'm
controllers
so happy.
for console,
I'm so
which is
pumped.
awesome. So I have an Xbox Elite controller, literally just so I can have the single paddle on the back for B. For crouch, because that's really all I needed it for. That was the only thing that I had to take it off. But man, if I had not gotten an Elite controller and I was looking at this, they offer a lot of customization. Not only can you rebind buttons, but you can press, long press, double press, and those will all do separate things. And they can also do chords, which is combo presses. So like A plus X or RB plus LB. So this is actually like a really, really in-depth customization. Now they did say that, be careful because they weren't able to test every possible combination on this. So there are going to be some combinations that don't work. Like for example, if you map melee to X and some other action to long press X, if the melee action resolves before the duration to detect a long press, the player will always melee and never do the other action. So it's like, just be careful. Like, you're going to run into some confusing issues on this, but I think this is going to be fantastic.
This makes me super happy because I actually use the existing PlayStation accessibility settings to remap some of my buttons. Because I like a combo, boy, I've forgotten what it's called. It's been so long since I've messed with it, of Jumper and Puppeteer. I like a kind of a combo of those. So like my super activation is like what is it? I think it's X and L1. I don't even think about it. I just do it. Now the next time I try to play, I'm gonna get confused and not be able to do it because I've thought about it. But it sucks then because like if I'm using my PlayStation for anything except playing Destiny, I have to go and turn off the accessibility settings or I have to use L1 as X. And so like it. When we used to use my PlayStation as like our primary media device, so my wife was constantly getting super pissed at me when she was trying to watch Netflix, and she's like,
And you'd swap the
"I'd
buttons
swap the
and
buttons," and she kept pressing X, and it like kept not doing like it would like scroll or something. She was like, "John, stupid controller." Anyways,
my girlfriend gets frustrated that the B paddle is on the back. So
oh.
when you set it down, it exits out of stuff if you don't disable the paddle. So there's a
See.
little button to disable
You
it.
just gotta buy a smart TV. That was what I did. I got out of it with money. That's what Black Friday is for, though. So,
And
yeah,
then,
these
so
are
let's talk
gorgeous.
Antaeus too, because Antaeus, they drop it in the comments, or Cosmo did. Let's see. So Cosmo says about Antaeus, they removed the bonus to super energy when reflecting shots, which is a good change because it was unnecessary, like considering everything else it does. And you now have to be sprinting for a second and a half before the exotic perk can be triggered by slide. So there's no longer the insta slide, which a lot of Titans are doing to evade stuff because it shields in 360 degrees, which is ridiculous. So they are just insta sliding when they're trying to get away from things, and it's basically making them invincible as they run away, which is really frustrating. So I don't think it's going to be enough to push Antaeus Wards out of being the most meta Titan exotic at the current point in time, but it is certainly going to be a little bit less frustrating to fight against them.
Yeah, I think at the very least it's going to give people a reason to consider making a different choice. Which, shoot, I like variety when I'm getting smashed by a Titan, so. But boy, yeah, Antaeus has been real painful to fight against when people have it down. And took a recent journey up to Legend in Survival, and man, some people really have their Antaeus down.
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating.
It's super annoying. I think this is a needed change. I think, honestly, I'd rather that they make a change like this that might not be quite enough than that they completely nerf it into the ground. I think, some Titans might feel like this is nerfing it into the ground, but I think the fact that you still have invincibility while sliding is pretty phenomenal and entirely worthy of an exotic by itself. So I think it's still going to be a solid choice.
So I would have not made it a invincibility shield. I would have made it a shield that takes an amount of damage and then it can bleed through, and I would not have made it 360 degrees. So Titans would probably hate me. I would have made it like an actual shield that pops up in front of you that can tank 200 damage, right? And then the rest of the damage bleeds through it or something like that. And I would have made it just in front of you where the actual animation is.
I mean, that would make
The
sense, but
360 degree invincibility, and I'm willing to bet that they did it using the same mechanic that they built for the Arc Strider's Reflect, and that's why it works that same way. I bet it's the same mechanic just attached to the boots, because that's actually what they do. You'll notice, like, they'll build something new into the game, and you'll start to see it pop up in more places, right? Like, sometimes they do it with exotics,
yeah.
sometimes they do it with, like, a new subclass thing, but, like, they'll build a mechanic into the game, and they'll be like, how can we use this mechanic? And they'll put it in other places too. right? Like the Taken phalanx shields that like pop you out, and then they started putting that shit on the walls and stuff too.
Yeah.
Right? Like they build that mechanic, they're like, where else can we use this? So I'm pretty sure that's what they did there.
Yeah, and you know what? Full credit to them. Reusing it in a way that feels different, has a different trigger. I'm good with that. I like that. It's a good use of resources for the game. So, did he have any other interesting notes dropped in the comments there?
Polaris Lance is getting fixed. The perfect fifth explosive shot, which if you fired another shot would cancel the explosive shot, is fixed. Which is great, because Polaris Lance, despite the fact that I think 150 RPM scouts are horrendously bad, that is probably my favorite 150 RPM scout. It is just super, super sticky, and there aren't enough big maps for me to really enjoy using it, but when I get Vostok every once in a while, I like to use it. I think it's a really, really cool scout rifle, but unfortunately the exotic perk being bugged really kind of took away almost all of its usefulness. So now, you know, it is useful again, hopefully, as long as it's actually fixed like they say.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll see a use for scout rifles at some point in the next season. It has been a while since they've shined, although that's not entirely a bad thing in PvP, as a scout rifle meta is not super fun. But what else? Do we have anything else there?
No, that was pretty much it from the TWAB. Like I said, it wasn't a great TWAB as far as it goes. But I'm assuming that's because next Tuesday they're going to have the reveal and they're going to do everything. So I'm looking forward to the reveal. I'm excited about it. We've broken down a lot of the weapons from this season. I mean, we've pretty much done our work.
Yeah.
We've done our work this season, and all there really was today to talk about was the TWAB. And hopefully next week on Thursday we'll have a lot more to discuss. Hopefully it'll be a cool reveal on Tuesday and then a big meaty TWAB on Thursday, and we'll be able to... That sounded disgusting. Why did I say it like that? A big meaty TWAB? That's not what we want. That is what we want, though.
That is what we want. Let's be honest with ourselves here. So I guess we can close it out with some quick notes, some quick reminders, in case you stopped scrolling at some point in the TWAB. Season of the Worthy ends on June 9th, 2020 at the reset. Number of items, activities, and triumphs will no longer be available, so get it done, folks. Season of the Worthy season pass and any available bonuses. If there's anything you want from the tail end of the season pass, you got to grind it out now. Season of the Worthy seal and Almighty title, got to get those done. The Almighty title must be claimed and equipped. They ask you to please note that in caps. So if you want that, claim it and equip it. Access to the EDZ, Moon, and IO Seraph bunkers. The bunkers are going bye-bye. So if there's any triumphs you need to get knocked out, if you want to go spend just like your enormous pile of currency on some engrams, go do that. Obviously the seasonal artifact, player power increase from said artifact, will be going away. Seraph Tower public event. And I think, very notably, if you have not got the Fourth Horseman or Fellwinter's Lie, you need to finish those quests this week. Get it done, folks. It's a little bit, you know, they can be a little bit grindy at times, but not nearly as bad as some of the quests we've had in the past. I think it's worth your time for both of those weapons just to have them. Fourth Horseman puts out a boatload of damage all at once. Could be meta for DPS at some point in the future if it's not already. Fellwinter's Lie is just hands down the best shotgun in the game. Wins by a nose in every comparison I can think of. So pick that one up, folks. You might want it.
Cool. Well, that's it for me then. So we will see you guys next week, hopefully on the cusp of greatness on season 11. So talk to you then. Bye.
All right. Peace.